So switching timelines.
All right. Mention of switching timelines. You switch timelines automatically when you hit nexus points in your life. Now, a nexus point is when you have a major decision to make in your life. And in some cases, they actually can be semi-minor. I've seen them change. There was one man, he bought a boat. And because he bought the boat, it shifted his timeline and he died. He died on the boat. And I warned him. I tried to warn him to not buy the boat because it would be disastrous for him. I didn't know to the degree. I just knew it was going to be a disaster for him. So that switched a timeline. When you feel the power of a decision, that will switch your timeline.
Is that like kind of like a destiny? Like your destiny could go that way, but you might switch.
You shift your destiny. You shift fate. And fate can be shifted to good or to bad, depending. And you really must trust your solar plexus or your gut, that when you make a decision, if it creates a reaction within your solar plexus, like gripping, you're shifting your timeline into a negative. And that is not a good thing to do. You've got to learn to trust the gifts that God has given you. And your solar plexus are major. Anybody have any questions on timelines?
I've never, you've not, or.
Since you've been here.
No.
You missed the last one.
I was going to say
is
that.
That's on the website.
Yes, Richard.
Can your guides and or guardian angel or those working with you change your timeline or
no.
Strictly you?
It's your choice, your decision. You write your own manuscript in your life.
If you ask your guides, can they give you some indication of which way you should go?
No. Your solar plexus will give you the... You will feel uncomfortable or like it doesn't quite feel right. And it's usually something that's too good to be true, but you know it's not quite right. There's something wrong there. And you make that decision towards that. That shifts you into a detour off your path.
So you're saying trust your intuition. If it feels too good to be true, it probably is.
It is.
Don't do that.
Correct.
Okay.
Always. Now, there are some things...
Well, that's too bad.
I know. Well, there are some things that are really, really good. And if they don't come with any negative response, then go with it. But if you have that doubt or that red flag or that gripping in the solar plexus, the worse the gripping in the solar plexus, the more dangerous and bad it is for you. Never go against that, ever. Then you'll be safe. I use it always. If I get in my car and I get a gripping in my solar plexus, I get out of my car. Because I know that there's going to be an accident.
How does that go along with, when you come in, does everyone decide their kind of time that they're going to be going out?
Yes.
So how does that go with that? Like, if you decided...
Thank you. You will only feel a gripping or a warning if it is changeable. If it is not changeable, you will have no warning. And the people around you will have no warning whatsoever. Although you may have some dreams and you may find yourself wanting to clear things with people. But no, there'll be no gripping because it is your time.
And we all have a time.
Pardon?
We all have a time.
We all have a time. Although it can be extended. And it can be shortened.
Depending on choices.
Depending on decisions that are made.
Any questions about that? Okay, next question. Going back in time to fix things. No, you cannot do that. It is not allowed. So you can't go back in time and fix things. And you may find yourself doing some time travel. I've done it. I've gone back in time. But I've only been allowed to witness. There's never been an exchange or anything of that nature. It's only been a witness situation.
It's like in all the movies, if you change time, then you're going to change the whole...
You change the whole thing. You don't do that.
Yeah.
And God doesn't really want you to do that. Yeah.
So you said when you were a child, you went back in time and saw the lake, the house that burned down. That's what you're talking about?
Yeah. I don't know if I went back in time.
The lady, the house had burnt down or
something?
Yeah,
the house had burned down and she had died.
Oh, that was just a spiritual thing?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I was only 4.
I understand.
I didn't have all those answers.
I understand.
Although I was doing pretty good.
Yes, you were.
Yeah, thank you. Any questions on that? Any comments?
Are we to the end of that list?
Pardon?
Are we to the end of that list? Have you made it through all your questions?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
She's still on page 2.
Oh, no, I can't do that.
Oh.
Yeah, we have. You have some more, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, good girl.
I have lists and screenshots and emails. Lots of questions.
Okay.
Do you want to do dreams first or dreams later?
Later.
Okay. Energy healing and grounding. How do you feel about that? What are your thoughts?
I believe in all of it.
What?
It needs to be posed as a real question.
Okay. Sorry, friend. Okay, if somebody's made a deal with the devil or a deal with a demon.
Pact.
A pact. Mm-hmm. And they truly want to, would that be rescinding the pact?
Mm-hmm.
Or they want to go back on the pact. How would they go about doing that?
Number one, it can be done and should be done.
So there's nothing that's permanent?
No. No, thank God. They make you think it is, but in fact it is not. And all you have to do is you rescind or I take back the pact that I made.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, on the web, there mm-hmm. is breaking of...
Binding and... Hold on.
Yeah. Unbinding. That can be used with the demonic by simply stating the demonic. Or it can be used in general as such, and that will work. Actually.
Unbinding.
How would if someone made a pact, how would that person know that in essence it's taken place or that it
there are people that are into Satanism, witchcraft, things of that nature, where they actually do make a deal with Satan. It's sort of a one-sided deal. Satan doesn't come up and say, hey, you want to deal with me? They actually go, I offer my soul to you to work in your service and for your glory.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask in return to have powers, etc. Now, do they get powers? No. No, they actually do not.
Uh-huh.
But when they pass, their souls get snatched up because they made a deal. And they work and they believe that in time they will actually become demons.
Mm-hmm.
Which they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But they believe that. Yeah.
Well, I'm going back to her question. What if you made a deal in 3 or 4... incarnations ago and
it can follow. It can
so how would you know if you have one though? That's the thing. I mean, I know what you're saying because you're saying people maybe Adolf Hitler
did this. My suggestion is that you do the unbinding.
Yes.
And then you're covered.
That was my cousin's question, and she has a family friend whose teenage son has done he got the devil worship kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And knew that he was in a bad family situation. Well, the family situation is improving, so he's trying to be better. And apparently weird things are happening to him, like he was waiting for his bus and a random cat came up, dropped a dead snake at his feet. And just odd things like that are happening. And he's, I don't know if he knows what to do, and she doesn't feel like she can help him.
Need to go. Can you find that on the website?
Yes, it's the unbinding, and it's I unbind and release myself, my house, my pets, my property, and any family members under the age of 13 from any and all pacts, agreements, and contracts made by me or for me with any and all negative terrestrial, celestial, or dimensional beings in the name of Shem HaMfarash and in the name of my Lord Master Jesus Christ, and I do this in my own free will. I bind with the angelic host of God Almighty in the name of my Lord and Master Jesus Christ, and I reclaim my birthright.
Now, you can add to that, and we need to make note on this.
Okay.
We can add to that, we break all pacts, etc.
I'm about to just make this change right here and right now.
From all past lives, from all past lives through present.
Hold on one second.
From all demonic. Just to include that.
I unbind all pacts. Hold on a second. I unbind, not unwind. Bind. All pacts made knowingly and unknowingly.
Mm-hmm.
Knowingly and unknowingly.
From all past lives through present.
From all past lives through present.
From all demonic, and then the rest remains the same.
Copy.
And once you've done that,
That's it.
You don't have to do it over and over again.
You do it one time.
It just takes care of all the past.
Right. And then it would be advisable to then do the binding, which is also in there,
mm-hmm.
which is I bind thee, Satan, and all thy legions through the power of the blood. You have somebody else do it on you, hold each other's wrists mm-hmm. while you're doing this. And you look the individual straight in the eye. And that stops everything. And it works. This stuff, people need to know this. Because they think if they make a pact, they're lost forever. And it just is not true. Richard, you had a question.
I was going to suggest that I don't know whether you've got all the bindings and liftings and things like that.
She's got
listed
it.
On your site.
Yeah.
You got that good. Right.
You're the queen.
She is the queen.
Techno yoga.
I can edit the website while in various yoga poses, depending on the day.
So funny.
Each page gets its own pose. The home page gets loaded.
Was there any other?
Yes, there are.
Oh, yeah.
Of course there are.
Of course there is.
Okay. In the May 1st meeting, Richard shared that he had been using Miracon for the purification of his food and water. And you explained that Miracon is only for the body. Am I pronouncing that? Is it Miracon?
Miracon.
Okay. Is only for the body. But under the section highlighted, it says that it can be applied to food as water as well. Was this a mistake? Was that a typo on my part? Or
it can't be applied to food or water.
Miracon cannot.
No, Miracon is for the body to purify and detoxify the body. All you have to do to detoxify water and food is I call forth the energy of water. I release thee and unbind thee, turn thee from negative to positive, and restore thee back to the state that God originally intended. Through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and in the name of Jesus Christ.
So I think that was a typo on my part.
Okay.
So I'm going to go back and I'm going to fix that. But we have more questions. So
okay.
What is that called? I never heard that before.
That's the detoxification prayer is the Miracon.
Miracon is a angelic being that has the capability of detoxifying and removing poisons from the body and the system. And it's a good thing to know, and it does work.
Any kind of poison?
Pretty much.
I mean, like animal venom, too?
I've used it.
I was spray painting the coolers. I was sealing them, and I stood up, and I got kind of loopy and woo-woo, and I think I may have gotten a little bit accidentally high off the spray paint fumes, and I laid down, and I said it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, let's go ahead and fix that. So there's that. We have more questions. I'm just waiting for the page to lift.
Go ahead.
Okay, there's that. And then, okay, about murder. We've addressed this, a couple sessions back. What if the government is like Sodom and Gomorrah, or allows human sacrifice to God or the government, like Mayans did? Mayans regularly sacrificed human beings and cut out hearts and fun things. Is that still considered murder?
It would depend upon the intent and motive of the government.
So if the government was creating the laws to go to war against other nations for spoils, or if they were doing it for expansion, profits,
it would be murder.
Even the soldiers committing?
No, not necessarily the soldiers.
But for the higher-ups, they would be
murder. Okay. Yeah. Like Hitler, what they did was an extermination of races, that would be considered murder.
But the soldiers who were following orders, not necessarily.
For extermination, that would be considered murder if they went along with it.
The ones that worked in the death camps.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Okay.
But like the death penalty here is not those who put in.
No.
Because they know what they're doing when they break the law. Right.
They choose to.
Right.
Well, the kid that they convicted, or they sentenced the Boston Marathon bomber to the death penalty, and apparently he just sat there and was like, and?
He didn't care.
No, not at all. Okay, the U.S. military allows soldiers to refuse orders if they find them to be unlawful or immoral, so that you have the choice to say no.
Yes.
Is basically the... and what's the fine line between murder and fighting for liberty and the and other... Wait, hold on. What's the fine line between murder and fighting for liberty other than the laws?
Basically, it's
in the
your intent and motive. If you go out there into war, even though it's a justified war, and you go out there to murder, your intent is to murder.
Because the question, and I don't know who it is, but it's...
That's the finite line.
Yeah. Their example is that Barabbas is said to be a murderer, but George Washington fought and killed, but is considered to be a hero.
Again, it goes back to how man sees it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. It's their
intent and motive. During Vietnam, there were soldiers that went out there to fight for what they believed to be truth. But there were soldiers that went out to murder.
To massacre.
To have the excuse to murder.
Mm-hmm.
That is murder.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no escaping that.
Okay. Last question with this little section.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also confused about Jesus commanding his followers to carry swords to protect themselves and loved ones. But when Peter tried to protect Jesus, Jesus commanded him not to do it. And said that those who live by the sword die by the sword.
I don't remember anywhere in there about Jesus commanding anyone
to carry
swords. You might want to check that out, but I don't remember
that. He did tell Peter that when he cut his ear off.
Well, he did, because...
He said the last was true.
Yeah, that was
true. But I never heard the beginning either. I agree.
But on a technical issue, if for any reason he did say that, I don't think he did, but if for any reason he did say that, the reason that he said to not do anything was because he had to willingly lend himself over to the soldiers, over to Caesar, for Caesar to do whatever they wanted to do to him.
So that his sacrifice could take place.
Correct.
So...
I have a question while we're on that, actually.
Okay.
I was reading on the website under Jesus Christ and talked about the 3 days that he went into hell. And is that anywhere in the Bible? Because, okay, because I have read the whole Bible, so I don't know.
It's one which is biblical.
I don't know. So I just wondered.
Yeah,
I've never heard that, so
yeah,
I wondered.
I didn't get that from the Bible.
Right,
I got
right.
that from my guides.
Right.
But then we found it at Pentecost. Was it Pentecost?
The,
It's in the Bible.
Yes. Okay. What's in the Catholic Bible?
Hold on.
Catholic.
Well, there's different Bibles.
Well, I know. Yeah.
But it was the their Apostles' Creed. Was that, was the Apostles',
Apostles'
Creed?
Apostles' Creed. That's what it was. Apostles' Creed. Yeah.
I'm trying to pull that up.
Where he descended, and then he ascended.
Yes. Well, he spent, 44 days?
40
days. Preaching and mm-hmm. teaching. But when he went into hell, was when he was crucified, he went straight into hell, and he created the tunnel of light
mm-hmm.
so that all, I don't care what you are, who you are, what you've done, how many packs you've made, or anything else, if you step into that light, you go to heaven. You are accepted into heaven.
So they just have to make the choice.
They have to make the choice. And it's always free will. You have free will in body as well as out of body.
And the Apostles' Creed, it says, you know, I believe in this, I believe in that. He was crucified under Pontius Pilate and buried, and the third day he rose from the dead. And the way that I interpret that is spiritually dead, meaning the people who have turned away from God. So that would be the demonic.
There's a book in the Catholic that talks about him going into the bowels of hell, if you will, or into the outer darkness, and where he faces Satan, and where he opens up the tunnel of light, and anyone can go into it. We found it, I don't know how many times, 4 or 5 times.
So,
it's in there.
Okay.
Yes, Richard.
Can you clarify hell? What was it? What is it?
Hell is, hell is a level of the outer darkness, or quote, the fourth dimension. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. And there are levels of it.
How long has it been around? Is it forever? Or is this just...
Well, since this earth has been here.
Okay. What was it created just for those coming here to earth?
It was created... Well, all the dimensions are created by God, as all things are created by God. Satan is a fallen angel, and he took space in the outer darkness.
After the revolt, he was put there, right? God put him there. Michael did it, right?
Michael. Well, and there are levels within levels of that hell. Now, can you leave that hell? Yes, you can.
It's not an eternal punishment.
No, you're eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Punishment is not. Even the demonic can be redeemed to the light.
In Roman.
Can you do it on your own while you're there, or would you have to have someone?
You could call. You could ask for the light in the name of Jesus Christ, and it would be presented to you.
If you knew to do that.
If you knew to do that.
Most of them are ignorant down there.
Probably. Well, that's why they're there to begin with.
Mm-hmm. What about if you have one of your family pray for the light to be sent, or like?
Yes.
That would work too.
Yes. You can pray a soul out of hell,
out of
or
hell.
The outer darkness, or being
and
bound in to the earth plane by using the band of mercy. And that prayer is...
What if they bound, and you said bound, as in they made an agreement?
No, you'd be bound through suicide.
Okay, what if they made an agreement?
You can be bound by that.
But, I mean, can the light still be shown for them even
of
after?
Of course,
okay.
If you pray for them.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Hitler could be prayed into the light.
That would be a good thing.
It would be a good thing.
Anybody know his, anybody know it?
But you have to have a direct descendant, their permission to do it for him.
Otherwise, they're there until they're shown the light?
No, they can be reincarnate from the outer darkness.
Right. So it's the, it's just depending on, that's, I think that's another, that's what Richard would, what I understood too. Are, is there a time as far as that you're bound to the outer darkness before you can incarnate?
There can be, there have been places that have been haunted for over 200 years by souls.
You talk about places on Earth.
Yeah, it's the only ones I know.
Which it makes me...
Sorry. A little psychic humor.
It makes me sad that people kind of go for, like, the thrill of a haunted house when it's people who are like, no, really, though, can you help me? Like,
yeah, exactly.
They're not rattling things around to scare you. They're rattling things around to get your attention because they're scared. And they're...
Some are doing it because they're mad.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're stuck.
They're stuck.
I'd probably be a little bit.
And they got lied to, and they're mad. But there are opportunities then for some of them to go ahead and be reborn from the outer darkness.
Right. So you're saying a pregnant woman in a haunted house should definitely not...
That's a stupid thing to do.
Don't do that.
Yeah, incredibly stupid.
You might get attached. The baby will get attached.
Yeah, yeah. It can attach to her, which in turn can attach to the child.
Did you say that if you are in one of the levels of hell, that you... It has to be a relative that can pray you out?
Yes.
Oh, okay. It has to be a relative. It
has to be like a blood relative.
Okay.
So is all outer darkness considered a level of hell?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know.
That's... Yes, sort of. In essence, any time that you are disconnected from God, it is hell.
Okay.
It's a form of hell. And in the outer darkness, you are disconnected from God because you don't have your guides. You don't have your connection.
Okay. You don't have your Holy Spirit.
Gotcha. Right. Yes.
Well, I have a friend that his friend committed suicide because his wife...
Yes.
Pray him back into the light.
Yes.
With the prayer.
Yes.
Okay.
Let me rephrase. You don't have to be blood relative.
His dad would be better. His father would be better.
A wife can do it. A child can do it. Huh. A brother-in-law could actually do it because of the tie. But yes.
And a best friend?
No.
But I couldn't do it.
No.
I'm confused.
But if you were given permission, you have to have family for a suicide.
No, only for suicide. Okay, I'm sorry.
Right.
We're still
on
suicide.
I mean, she's devastated. And his dad's devastated.
Can I pray for your family?
This guy was just, you know.
Well, it's going to get worse because their grief doesn't subside because he's bound.
Right there.
In his own misery.
Yeah.
And he's still in torment, which keeps them in torment.
Right. And he's probably in the house.
When he goes into the light, the torment lifts, the grief lifts. And they're all okay. People just don't know.
No.
Such a shame. And so simple. I mean, this is not complex.
Are you ready for a new new hit on the list?
Yeah.
The Akashic Records.
Okay, what about them?
It was a topic that was brought up several sessions back, and you said make a note of it, and that was my note of it.
Thank you.
So so basically, I don't have any detail at all. What is it? How does it work?
The Akashic Records are the records of every lifetime you've ever lived on this earth plane. And it denotes the name, time of birth, date of birth, and where.
And then date of death.
And then within that is everything that happened in that lifetime. It's a record. It's like an energy record of every aspect in that lifetime. Now, how do you call upon it?
That's a great question, Carol. How would you call upon your...
That's what I want to know. How do you call upon it? You got to be in the spirit to see it, right?
Not necessarily.
Or you can see it, maybe.
I can.
For us.
But there is a way to do it.
How do you do that, Carol?
You're a good side man.
Well, first of all, you said it's called the Akash or what?
Akashic.
Akashic or Akashic.
Akashic.
Oh, okay. Because all I heard was cash, and I thought,
no.
Cash?
It's not money.
Okay.
It's Benjamin's.
All right. Come here. Let me see. Well, no, let's do it this way. We'll do it to the side this way. All right. What you do is this. You get a hold of them, and you have to touch their wrists. They hold your wrist.
Hold her wrist.
Like so. And you say, do I have permission to go to your Akashic records and read them? Then the person says yes or no. I get relaxed with it, and all of a sudden information begins to come into my head. And then I tell you what I see.
That's
but only you and Savannah could do that.
No, I've taught other people to do it.
Oh. So that's when you do readings of past lives?
Pardon me.
You're good, lady. You got my chakra if you want to be 25.
Is that cool?
It is cool.
It's not that difficult, but you have to be open to it, and you just have to flow with it. And whatever pops into your head, you just speak it aloud.
Kind of like reading a picture?
Yes.
But it's a huge record, though.
It is.
I mean, it depends on how many incarnations you have. Most people have 40.
Well, I mean, does it go oldest, like, oldest?
You can go to whatever one that would be the most influential or has the most influence in this lifetime or the most recent one.
Okay.
And you specifically asked for that then?
You have to ask them for permission to look or read their Akashic records.
Right.
And they have to
the
say
most
yes.
Influence.
Whatever they're wanting to look for. Let's say you're having compulsive behavioral problems. So after you do the lifting of the person to make sure they don't have a spirit attached to them that's compulsive, obsessive, then you can go ahead and say, can I look at your Akashic records and check into their past life? And you ask for the past life that would be the one influencing the compulsive or obsessive behavior.
Okay.
And look and see what it was. Now, how do you eradicate it once you found it? You tap it out.
With all the walnut.
And then you finish it off with walnut. 7 drops of walnut under or on the gum.
What did that do?
It erases it.
It makes you tingly.
Yes, it makes you tingly.
You all sell walnut oil.
The problem.
You all sell it.
Yes.
Of course.
There's 1/4 ounce bottles and there's 1 ounce bottles. I recommend getting one of each, and then you can refill your 1/4 ounce bottles. You can take it with you wherever you go. I keep one in my purse.
She's the best marker you ever
had. I'm telling you.
I mean, the website's exploded, Facebook's exploded.
What else would you use it for?
Which?
What? The walnut.
Walnut.
Walnut. Okay, whole different question. The walnut, which is a Bach flower rescue remedy or healing flower rescue remedy or healing.
It's good stuff, remedy. Regardless of what it's called.
Walnut takes care of all past life problems. So, let's say you meet someone and you really feel compelled to that individual, and maybe they're not such a good individual. You might want to take 7 drops of walnut to break the compulsion and tap. Well, you'd want to find out what it was to tap it out. You can tap out that compulsion.
So you can just take 7 drops of it and
be
done?
It will help. Yes, it will help.
Or you can use kinesiology.
Yes, you can use kinesiology to find out who they were in that past life, how they affected you, was it a positive or a negative. And once you've got the picture of what that was, you then tap it out, starting with the root chakra, then shoulders. You go up the whole body, all the body. And then the shoulders, the bend of the elbow, and the palm of the hand. Tapping twice. It's on the website too, I believe.
Yes, it is. Because ask me how many times I did that last summer.
She's a webmaster. She would know.
She would.
How can
I thought
you,
I was going to die a couple times.
How can you
I know you learn lessons in every life, and you, but how can you make sure that you don't forget what you learned in the last one?
You can't. There's no way.
But you don't have to. If you learn it, you don't have to keep.
Stop. All right, hang on just a minute. Okay, when you go into the light, you have to go into the light. If you incarnate from the outer darkness, mm-hmm. it's all lost. Mm-hmm. If you go into the light, you can maintain, not all, but a lot of the lessons that you learned, mm-hmm. so that you won't repeat the mistakes, but you have to forgive and release with love to complete the process. Mm-hmm. Once you've done that, then you can go ahead, and you will have that information within you, and it will ring in when you hear or you face the situation. Thank you.
Thank you.
And it will take all the negative and potential
yes.
anniversaries of,
yes.
say, a death. And you won't have to feel yes. the trauma and the nasty that accompanies.
The most important thing is, you said, do forgive with love. That's the most important thing.
Forgive and release with love. Forgive and release with love.
You said something big, and you just went right through it there. If you go into the outer darkness, everything's lost.
Yes.
Your lessons. So, like, you're in a car accident, and you don't... That's...
It's not lost, but you can't put it into motion for your future incarnation.
Unless you go into the light.
Yes.
So, if you're in the outer darkness, but then go into the light before you reincarnate, then you're good. All right.
You got to get that cleansing.
Right, I just want to make sure it wasn't gone.
You don't lose everything. And there are some people, particularly into witchcraft, when I say, I'm talking really black stuff, black magic, that sort of thing, that make a practice of never going into the light and always maintaining all of their power.
They leave
them. They can knowingly incarnate, maintaining that power. Ouch. I've seen that.
How do they do that?
I don't know, but they do spells and rituals in order to maintain that.
Would that be possibly a deal with the dark side? Yeah.
They leave like a slug of what... I've met one and it was like a slug.
Yeah.
This dude came in my house, dating my roommate at the time, and I was like, he's been in the house. No, he hasn't. He came in, he walked to your room, I can feel it, he was right there.
That's different.
No, that's different? Not a...
Yeah, I've seen the slug thing, and it hangs off their side. Ooh. It's really yucky.
You can see it in the aura? You saw it in the aura?
I just felt it. I didn't see it.
Well, I don't know if she saw it, but you can feel it. It slimes everything. But that's different. This one person that I knew of who had affected his entire family was horrible. The deal is, he's allowed to maintain all of his knowledge, but he has to destroy everyone. Mm. All of his family, everyone in the process.
Destroy them physically or spiritually?
Spiritually, physically, any way you can.
And they know that.
They don't know that.
No, not the family, but the individual. The slug knows what they're doing. Yes. They know.
Okay. Yeah.
And you got him in the light, didn't you?
I did get him in the light. He did not like that.
Well, you had that one guy that she had something, and he had the people go to that sweat tent or something.
Yeah, he had
that. That was the one?
Yeah, no, that was different. This guy was completely, he was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant. He had wonderful, brilliant
children.
He stole
their money or something.
They were all doctors and then medical, and all of them were brilliant, and he just did terrible things to them.
How did you get him into the light if he didn't want to go?
His family told me as soon as he passed.
So if he didn't want to go, you could still put him there?
Yeah, the family.
The family prayed him there.
My aunt went kicking and screaming, but my mom said, nope, we're getting into the light. I said...
Hey, it's saved him.
Oh, yeah.
It saved his family, his future families.
Yeah.
God only knows. That was happening.
Oh, let's look at the time.
So who, forgive and release the people that we're mad at? Or you said forgive and release with love. Who have we forgiven? Whoever wronged us?
Mother, father, brother, sister,
friends,
enemies.
And past life. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, yeah, you can't really forgive the souls because you don't remember who they are. So you can't blanket that. You really have to.
Well, what if you met someone and you, that's what, is that what you're referring back to? Okay.
I just wonder
anyone that has wronged you, anyone that you carry resentment, you don't want to be reborn with them, do you?
Right, because you have a karmic connection then.
That's right.
And you'll you'll fight them again. That's how,
so
I agree with that.
Forgive them as a creation of God that went askew, and forgive them and release them with love.
On a soul level.
On a soul level. And that,
that's a biggie.
It's easy. Do it out of fear. Mm-hmm. That you don't have to, you do not want to be reborn with these people. You do not like them. You do not want to be reborn with them. Yes, they were perfect as a creation of God. Yes, they did go askew. That's not your problem. Your problem is you don't want to be hooked into future lives with them. Do it for your sake, not for theirs. But the weird thing is, it's for both of your sake. Because when you forgive and release them, they are released from you.
Especially if you're carrying resentment.
Yep.
You mentioned the lifting and how we had somebody message in about wanting to say the lifting because she thought that a specific family member was attached. And so, for example, I think Uncle Joe has attached to Aunt Sally, and Uncle Joe was causing Aunt Sally great harm. Okay. I go in to say the lifting. I would please ask the Band of Mercy to please remove Uncle Joe from Aunt Sally. That's excluding anything else that might be attached to
it. That's correct.
So you want to leave it as wide open as possible, even if you know for 100% fact that it is that person, that it is Uncle Joe, you still want to do a blanket, normal, everyday run-of-the-mill.
It would be the smarter way of doing it.
Because once one attaches, doesn't that weaken you and make others?
You're always attached. There's always stuff going on. And most of the people that attach to you are people that are total strangers.
Ready? Dreams.
Ah, dreams. Okay, we've got all the questions?
Yep.
Very good. Oh, we're doing really, really well.
Dreams is a broad subject.
No, that's the kind of dreams I'm speaking
of. Okay.
Actually, they are too. I'm not talking about sleeping. I'm not talking about those kind of dreams. I'm talking about the dreams that people have of what they want others to be. Mm. And how they want their life to be. Okay. And their spouse to be. And their brother to be. And their sister. And their children. And people are, they live in huge disappointment and depression.
And heartache.
And heartache because their dreams are nothing but illusions of what they want. Excluding what the others want. And we create these dreams to give us hope for the future. And hope in a loveless relationship, whether it be mother, father, brother, sister, whatever the case may be, friendships. We have these illusions of what we need. People who fix other people fix them because they want to be fixed themselves. We project.
Right.
And we have to learn to let go of the dream and accept people for who they really are, not for who we want them to be. I have people that come to me and they're in their 60s and they still want to change their mother or father, or brother and sister for acceptance purposes, which these people are totally incapable of accepting them or anybody else. But they're miserable because they are so brokenhearted that their dream can't be fulfilled. It's a one-sided dream. It's a one-sided illusion. But we live in those. You've heard of catfishing, haven't you? I've talked to you about it before. Mm-hmm. That's where you get on the internet and somebody makes contact with you and they start telling you how wonderful you are and how handsome or how beautiful you are and how intelligent you are, and they start telling you all these wonderful things, and it goes on for anywhere from 3 months to 6 months.
Sometimes a year.
And by then, you've got this relationship going on with them that is, your dream has now expanded, and you've got it built. You've got your house built in your dream, and your picket fence, and your kids, and all this stuff. You've got that dream expanded, and suddenly they're in trouble, and they need $30,000.
And they're in Kenya.
And they're in Kenya, or Nairobi, or wherever.
Or they want to meet you, and it turns out to be like a woman who's in her 50s, or a man in prison.
Yeah, a lot of that. That's what people hook into. People hook into dreams. There are men. I've had a lot of cases of this. It happens with women too, but the cases that I speak of in particular, there's one man, he's wealthy, he's a businessman, and what he does is he collects women. Now, he has a love-hate for women, but he collects women. And these are all beautiful, ambitious career women with a lot of energy and go forth and doing things. And he makes them fall in love with him. Not a little bit in love, but he builds the dream. And he hooks them into the dream. And a lot of these women are married. And they leave their husband for him. And then he dumps them. And then he keeps pulling on their energy. He's a psychic vampire.
He's in Arkansas?
No.
Oh.
He is not, thank God. But he's a psychic vampire. And he drains them to the point that they get old and they dry up. Mm. I've never seen the likes of it. It just absolutely blows my mind. He's alive and well. He's not here.
Not here.
So how did you find out about this person? He didn't come to you.
No.
Somebody, your spirits told you.
No.
One of the ladies told you.
Yeah.
And then you tapped into that.
Yeah.
There are people that are psychic vampires, male and female.
There most definitely are. And then they use facade. They use charisma, which is a psychic buildup of energy that makes them look far more appealing than what they actually are. Wild. They know how to use psychic energies. How to use energy, period. Not just psychic. Energy.
So, do you think all people with charisma have a negative?
No.
Okay.
A few do.
Again, it's the intent.
Well, I mean, you see a lot of politicians that have charisma. And most of theirs is negative, but...
Well...
Some are, some aren't. Charisma is an energy that anyone can build if you know how. It's not that difficult.
I mean, being charismatic isn't a bad thing.
No.
It's a gift. It can be a gift, but as any gift, it
can be skewed.
It can be used to the positive
or the negative.
It's like a tool in the surgeon's hands or the murderer's hands. It's an ability. But there are people that build on people's dreams. And that's what he does. He builds on people's dreams, enhances the dreams, grows the dreams, and then collapses the dream.
Crushes the dreams.
Yes. So they, in turn, are crushed.
So you had one of his victims come to you, and then you tapped into that, and that's how you found out about this.
Yes.
So his is a conquest kind of thing.
That's a love-hate for women. He wants to hook them, reel them in, and destroy them. Hmm. And the more successful... The more beautiful they are, the more he wants to destroy.
He does this because he has a dark attachment, or because he just had a bad childhood, or
hates his mother.
Okay.
Is he in this country?
Yes.
Okay.
No one you know. No one you've ever heard of. Not on TV. Nothing of that nature.
His initials are Bill Clinton. I'm kidding. That's all wrong. That's all wrong. Forgive me.
He is a very charismatic man.
He is.
And he kind of likes women a little bit.
A little bit.